We'll continue. Simon Taf Kuf Yud Chet. We are starting now. Taf Kuf Yud Ches Sif. Well, last week we did Sif Aleph, which is really is what sets the table for the rest of the Simon. Really, the whole sugya is found in that first Simon, where we quoted the idea of Mitoch once again, right? Mitoch Shotro Tzal Tzorech Achila. We also permitted for other reasons, such as a katan lulav of sefer Torah and kelim. And remember that led to the whole discussion of does the meat have to be for a mitzvah or for any need? And of course, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the idea that to take your kid around, even if there's no need to take your kid around other than your own simcha, so your own simcha is considered enough of a need to violate these things. The only thing that we did have a disagreement was the Ramah talked that even if you have a slight need for it, such as that it won't be stolen. So that's what we had disagreement about. The Mishnah Berurah quotes he quotes from Kama Poskim. However, if you remember from last week, it was the Rush and the Tur, and I think quoting even from earlier, source, I think he quotes from a letter from the Gaonim, that Shalo Yignevu is not considered a Tzorich. Meaning a tzorich is that I want to actually use it. But if I'm only carrying it in order so that something not gets stolen, in order so that lest something happen, so that's not considered a tzorich. So that's
but to enjoy your children, which is something that you could defer by 12 hours or something like that, is okay. That's a tzorich.
Yeah, that's
but
a tzorich.
Protect your stuff is not considered reasonable.
Yeah, well, I could also not eat and eat in 10 hours from now, but I'm allowed to eat on Yontif. Right? I can hold off eating for 2 hours till Yontif is over. I'm still allowed to cook at the end of Yontif to eat on Yontif.
Right?
It's a tzorach for Yontif. As opposed to less it gets stolen, which is not considered tzorach for Yontif. Unless it is. that's where it gets very unclear. Unless it is. So that's where you gotta somehow come up with some kind of distinction.
But stealing what? Stealing the food? Or what about jewelry? I mean, some really valuable stuff. I mean,
right, so the Mishnah Berurah talked about this, a distinction of if it's going to be so much that it's going to keep you from doing things, then you are allowed to take. You are allowed to carry. So what we figured out last week, I didn't actually see a source on this. I think what the distinction that we're driving at is that if something is going to keep me there, meaning if my house is open and it's not just the door fell off. I don't know. Whatever, for some people in the house, it depends on where you live. I mean, speak to Kerbal about life in South Africa, right? You know, it's pretty wild. Right? So if it's so much that if I don't carry this, I am not going to leave my house, so then carrying it becomes a tzorach yantif. But if my kid's bike is out in the driveway, right? So my kid's bike isn't going to keep me. If I'm told you're not allowed to touch it, you have to leave it there, I'm still going to go to shul. I'm not going to spend the rest of my yontif on guard, making sure that the bike doesn't get taken. I might not go to shul in order to save my house. I probably would go to shul even though it would be risking Yeshua's new bike, which he got from Chanukah and is very excited about. But of course, still has loose training wheels. Yeah, tighten that. It's a job. Anyways, so I think that's the distinction that the Ramah is, that the Mishnah Berurah is trying to make. I mean, the Ramah even permits that. The Ramah would even say, well, if it's going to bug you that the kid's bike is out there, you can bring the bike back inside. That's okay. That's what the Ramah says. The Mishnah Berurah says, not so fast. The Mishnah Berurah says, I don't think that's considered Tzorach Yantif. That's Tzorach La'achar Yantif, which does not become, which is not Mutaran Yantif. Okay? Then he had the thing with the ball playing. He actually matered ball playing, right? Mutter lishot bikadur. And he had the last part about the Erev, that it actually is important to have an Erev up on Yantif. If there's no Erev on Yantif, So then things that aren't shalol sarech klal shouldn't be carried at all. So we talked about the requirement that one should still check their pockets on Yantif if there's no Erev. I mean, even if there is an Erev, it's probably a good idea to check your pockets. Who knows what could be growing in there.
But we don't.
What?
We don't check the Erev.
Right, so we don't check the Erev. So that's a good point. Why don't why don't we? Probably because it's not enough of, we don't want to spend $180 or use volunteers.
It's not even an issue. Nobody even raises it as an issue.
I don't know. The Rama does.
I don't know.
The Rama does. But
you probably don't know all the details.
Right.
For Tzorach HaYom, let's say there could be, there's a, many people know that Halacha Yudis, or maybe they wouldn't bother carrying unless it's Tzorach HaYom.
Right.
They're not going to carry for something that's after Yontif. So, like a book, for example, you want to read a book on Yontif.
Mm-hmm.
Surely that must be
Tzorach HaYom. That's Tzorach HaYom. But when we push our stroller and our stroller has a rain cover in it, and it's only there because it rains in Phoenix in February and we still haven't taken it out and it's Pesach time and there's no way it's going to rain over Pesach, so that could be carrying Shulot Tzorach Klal. That could be, there's really no reason to be schlepping that.
Maybe you're carrying it because it may rain, or maybe you're carrying it...
No, but if they can't, it's not going to rain. It's lo tzorach. It's not going to rain.
Okay, but
then
you're not actually moving it from place to place. It just happens to be there.
No, but that's included the things I'm carrying. So I think that those are the things. I think that's what he's talking about. Shalom Tzorach Klal. I mean, the tissue that's in your pocket. So I'm not carrying. It just happens to be in my pocket. But maybe the reason why we're not so careful about this, though, and we don't check the ears, though, I'm not sure. And... might be because the worst you can... It's very hard to violate carrying Shalom Tzorach Klal that would actually make you chayev. You have to try pretty hard to carry something Shalom Tzorach Klal on purpose for a reason. Meaning if you just carry it, if there's a tissue in your pocket, right, and you happen to be carrying it, right, so you're not, that's not an issur d'oraisa. That's not a, for plenty of reasons why we can help, but that's not an issur d'oraisa. So everything is only going to be rabbanan, so it gets knocked down, so maybe it doesn't require checking the eruv, especially as we're going to learn tonight, what exactly is the real reason, we're going to learn later in the different shir tonight, what exactly is the real reason for checking an eruv in the first place, right? So how does that work? Shouldn't we assume that it's okay from last week? So maybe that should be able to work for you.
I'm all for that.
Okay.
Did the Ramah live?
What?
When did the Ramah live?
The Ramah lived in the...
When?
1400s, I think.
I didn't know they played ball back then. So you just... Yeah, so we're back when I
the Gemara talks about Kazarim.
When the error first came out, that Rabbi Kaplan put out in the, like, the error handbook.
Right.
That, like, you know... Coming out again. There's something of business about playing ball on Yom
Tov.
Playing ball on Shabbos.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the urban legend in Lakewood. Lakewood doesn't have an Erev out of Yom Hazeh. I mean, it has hundreds of Erevs, because people make in their own little courtyards. But there's no citywide Erev in Lakewood proper near the yeshiva. There's no Erev proper. And the urban legend that I've heard, I don't know if it's true, is that Rav Aaron said, "I'm not putting it up because you're going to play basketball." He said, no, we won't play ball on Shabbos. We won't play ball on Shabbos. And he said, fine, they put up an Erev, and then the next Shabbos, kachava, everyone was playing basketball. And he said, that's it, it's down, finished. No more. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. But that's what they say. That's what my guide, when I went there for a Shabbos, that's what my guide told me.
I know the Rama wasn't talking about basketball.
Well, that wasn't invented, right? James G. Right. The Rama was not a James Naismith's probably not a Gilgal of the Rama.
Maybe it was polo.
The kids had balls, but the Gemara talks about that's what Psik Reish is all about, right? Why are they cutting off the head of the chicken? Because the kid wants to play with it as a ball. So they actually had some concept of having some balls. What?
A ball would be gruesome. Yeah, well, guess what?
Pigskins, you know?
It's supposed to be satisfied with playing a polo with a skull or something.
All right. Anyways, so just to cover a few more, a couple more details is really what the rest of this siman is all about. So he says, "Asli Yisrael lahotzi shum davar biyontel b'tzorach eino yehudi." So a Jew is not allowed to carry anything for the purposes of a non-Jew. So this actually makes a lot of sense based on what we've learned before. The Mishnah Berurah comments, "Ratzalomar afilu shel ochel nefesh." right? Even for the purpose of food. I mean, even to have the non-Jew for the purpose of themselves eating, you can have a non-Jew carry stuff. It's a Jew carrying things even to feed a non-Jew is also not allowed, right? As the Mishnah Berurah says, the lo adif mi bishul. It's no better than bishul. The aser gam kein l'tzarech hakum. You're not allowed to do malachos on behalf of non-Jews, right? End of story. Fine. Aval, which really does come up. I mean, this stuff. Especially with neighbors and I wouldn't say the mailman, but these kinds of issues, carrying things on behalf of a non-Jew, could come up. Aval mutter lishloach lo al yedei einu Yehudi. You could send things by way of an einu Yehudi, k'vatzarech lahachs your mashkon l'einu Yehudi, such that they will return it to a non-Jew. Right, so what's he basically saying? You're not allowed to carry a thing on behalf of a non-Jew, but you're allowed to do amira la'akum on behalf of a non-Jew. Mm-hmm. Right, you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to carry on your behalf to a different non-Jew. That's what he's saying. The chedomah is that, and similar situations to this. Fair, but Mishnah Berurah says it outright in Yud Gimel. After Amir La'akum Shvus b'makom tzorach Shvus, even though Amir La'akum is an Issur d'Rabbanan b'makom tzorach kai gavna samchinan aposkim, when there's a need for it, when there's somewhat of a need, such as in this case, we rely on the aposkim. The Rosh Hashanah shalanu karmelisu, that really our Rosh Hashanahs are all karmelises, are all d'Rabbanan, comes up in for an Erev and Halacha, v'havi shvus d'shvus v'makom tzorach v'shari, and therefore it's a shvus d'shvus v'makom tzorach. Everybody got that? Everybody know what shvus d'shvus is? So shvus d'shvus means that a shvus is a din d'rabbanan, shvita, that we have a mitzvah's assay of shvita on Shabbos, so therefore we don't do certain things. So Amir La'akum is an example of a shvita, right? So we have a concept sometimes that we won't allow you just to do an Issur d'Rabbanan for a purpose, right? That's what Issur d'Rabbanan is. But if you line up two d'Rabbanans together, so then we start permitting you to do things. So when there's a need for it. So here there's two d'Rabbanans. Number one, carrying outside without an Erev in almost all of our situations is an Issur d'Rabbanan. Right, maybe according to Balakinwood people, carrying across city would be a problem. Okay, but for us, but for us who have a different understanding of Rosh Hashanah is, so carrying would only be in Dindur Abanan, and you're carrying it for a purpose of you're not carrying, but you're having a Naju carry which is also Dindur Abanan. You put the two Dindur Abanans together, so they call that Shvus to Shvus Makom Tzarach. So we're going to say that is Mutter. So the question is, okay, that's a pretty good kula. So why is this only usable for Yantif? Maybe it's usable for Shabbos too. Right, so this is so there are neighborhoods where the minug is that people have non-Jews push their baby carriages. Right? Anybody heard of this? Anybody ever?
We've done it here.
What?
We've done it.
That used to be
wheelchairs. Now somebody had a broken leg for
wheelchairs,
and then they needed to come to the pharmacy before the error was out there.
Uh huh.
Someone had a broken leg, and we gave them our wheelchair, and they rolled them to. A non-Jew
rolled him. Okay. Uh huh. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Kaplan, not to do.
I presume so. Yeah.
I did that. Uh huh. All right. So that was an issue. I have a friend of mine who went to a town that didn't have an Erev. I think they're trying to build an Erev, whatever. It's a problem. But he went to a town, and there's no Erev, and his wife was going to be having a kid in a few months. His first kid in a few months. So he said to us, well, what are you going to do? So I don't know. So he asked his Rebbe, Ray Willig. And Ray Willig is very machmer on this. Ray Willig doesn't hold this. He's written enough, it's in print, that Amir al-Akum is only mutter b'di'evet, meaning all of the even this situation as well. He would say this is only permissible when it's a b'di'evet situation. But to set it up before Shabbos in this case, it's similar to the chabura we gave about kivui, right? To set it up beforehand in a way that I'm going to rely on this on Shabbos, that's not allowed. So I said this guy said, sorry, you know, he hired me as the rabbi, my wife's not going to come to shul on... Well, it's not going to come to shul on Shabbos. She'll come on Yom Tov, she won't come on Shabbos. So, of course, then he found out a very important fact that had been missing. the previous rabbi's wife did push did push the kids to shul on Shabbos. So what do you have to say
without
about
a,
that?
Without an
error. Without an error, right? The previous rabbi's wife had a non-Jew push the kids on Yontif. So what do you have to say about that? So Judith, I'm not sure how this was resolved. But that's where the story ends, as far as I know. But that's the read. I mean, that's the those that say not to do that assume that it's only say that you, it's only a bedieved thing. When you catch yourself on Shabbos, that a non-Jew is demanding their mashkum back, otherwise they're going to kick you out of your house and break your kneecaps, right? So then you can have the non-Jew take it back to them. But to set it up before Shabbos or before Yom Tov, this is that we're going to do this l'chatila, so that we don't like. Okay, the next sif has to do with mukta. Lakach eitz she'enu miyuchad l'shpud. L'ksala bo basar asur l'taltel achar kach. So what's going on here? So you make a barbecue on Yom Tov, right? Another somewhat controversial issue. But you're making a barbecue on Yom Tov, and you take, you're walking around, and you say, oh, look at that, perfect, there was marshmallows on. So you take the branch, and you put your marshmallows on it, or your hot dogs on it, or whatever the case may be, right? And you roast your marshmallows on it. So that is...
Shpud is a stave?
Shpud is the spear.
Spit.
Shish kebab, the spit, yeah. But salabo basar, you roast basar on it. So asr latatalo acharkach. You're not allowed to move it afterwards. So you look at it and say, oh, wow, that was a great stick. I want to include it in my stick collection. If anybody wants to see a nice example of a stick collection, if you get to our house and you look to the left of the door on top of the bush, those are all the wonderful sticks that Yehoshua has collected on the on the walk home from shul on various Shabbos. Right, so...
only when the Arab is up.
Oh, that's a good Arab stick. I'm going to put it in my stick collection. So...
Isn't that one of the celebrations? In the Torah, there was someone that gathered sticks...
Right, gathering sticks is a problem, right? It's true. That was the thing that he got the skila for in the Torah, right? Very good. That's gathering sticks together. He's just picking one up and carrying it in. I don't know. I don't think he's hype skila.
the story that he's referring to, did he actually make the fire?
Gathering itself.
Yeah,
he didn't make the fire, but gathering itself is one of the malachas.
I assumed he was chopping the sticks, but I guess not.
The
Mekoshe shades him, yeah. Anyways, if you wonder why there's sticks sticking up from our bush, that's the reason. So you're not allowed to use it afterwards. I mean, once you've used it already, then it's not considered a kli. I mean, just because you use it as a spit doesn't all of a sudden make it not muksa anymore. Right, Ella Shomto Manichu Bekeren Zavis Kedeshaloya Zuka. But rather, you take the things off, you put it in the corner, that nothing happens to it, and you don't touch it for the rest of the yantif. Afilu Ein Alav Basar Klal. Even if it's not dirty at all, right, it's still muksa, and you have to put it to the side. Otzorach Ochal Nefesh. But if you want to use it to make another barbecue, I mean, that was the first day of Yontif, now it's the second day of Yontif, and I want to use this, if I want to use it for the, well, truth is, taking it for the next day might be a problem. But if I want to use it later in the afternoon for the other barbecue, so then he says, it's mutu l'taltal hakol afilu muksa, even if it's muksa, because you're using it for the purpose of the...
What was wrong in the first case then?
So what was wrong in the first case was right now, right, so I take this stick, right, and I put my hot dog on, and now I take the hot dog off. Right? So, before Yom Tov started, or an hour before, I saw the stick.
I cooked it, okay.
Right. So now, before an hour before, I found the stick was muksa. It was like any other stick. Right? It's a muksa stick. So now I found the use for it. So was I allowed to use it? It's muksa. The answer is, you are allowed to use it. Why are you allowed to use it? Because tzorech gufo, I mean, I want to use it for a permissible purpose, right? Okay. So now the Shulchan Aruch is saying, so now that I've used it for a permissible purpose, what is it now? Is it muksa now?
No, right?
Yes, I use it for a permissible purpose. It doesn't mean that it's not muksa anymore, right? It goes back to being muksa. Right? It hasn't become matered. It hasn't become... permitted.
Redefined its purpose.
No, you didn't redefine its purpose. No. It was always a stick. It was a stick that you were using as a spit. So no. Now you're not using it as a spit anymore. It's just a stick.
So once I've designated, what's the difference between that and the store-bought?
No. So if you designated it, if you, store-bought spit was designated before Yontif.
Right.
If you designated it before Yontif, it'd be fine. The problem here is that when Yontif started, it was still muksa. It was just a stick.
It hadn't but you allowed been, me to use it.
Right.
You allowed me to define it as a spit because I use it on my hot dog.
Right.
Once I'm done using it on my hot dog, doesn't it again become a cleat for
no.
No,
that's by muksa. There are muksa things we're allowed to use, right? So, let's sort of gufo, right?
Like aren't you allowed to take a hammer and use it to crack
yes.
walnuts?
Yes. So if I take a hammer and use it to crack walnuts, right? It was an excellent nutcracker.
Right.
Okay, so now, what's the hammer? Is the hammer now not muksa anymore for the rest of Shabbos?
But can I use it again for
a Yeah, you can use it again to crack the nuts.
Right.
But can I now take the hammer and put it take it home with me? But I have a hammer here in shul, right? And I really should have been at home, right? So okay, whatever. But then it's sort of nuts at the kiddush, right? So perfect. I'll get my hammer from my office. I go crack the nuts and say, okay, great. Now I can take my hammer home with me.
Okay.
No. I can't. I can't. So what am I allowed to take it home? If I realize, oh, wait a second, I have my nuts at home, and I don't have another hammer at home, nor do I have another nutcracker at home, and nor do I have any other furniture. If I'm going to use it for a nut, I'm going to use it for a nut again, so then I'm allowed to take it home again. Right? That's what the Ramah is saying. Ochel nefesh mutu l'tatel hakol. Afilu muksa, you'd be allowed to carry everything, even muktzah. I told this story with the chauffeur on Rosh Hashanah that the guy took my friend in Scottsdale, the shul in Scottsdale. So the rabbi lived two houses down from the shul, but on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur they daven in the JCC, which is like a mile away. So he had to come home. His wife couldn't go to shul, so he came home to the chauffeur for his wife, brought the chauffeur home with him. And now it's the first day of Yontif, and he's like, I want to take my chauffeur back now in the afternoon, because I'm going to forget in the morning, so I'm allowed to take it back. So no, plus it's for the purpose of the next day, right? So then he thought for himself, oh, wait a second, maybe, you know, it's Scottsdale, Arizona, who knows who's going to show up in shul. It could very well be that someone's going to show up that hasn't heard shofar blowing that day. So he was walking across the huge parking lot, plus every corner in Scottsdale Road is a big strip mall, right? So he's walking across the huge parking lot, and someone comes out in the cigar store in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts saying, Shana Tova! The guy said, I can't believe I remembered, but it's so nice seeing you guys, whatever. He's like, well, you know, would you like to hear a chauffeur? He's like, what do you mean, like to hear a chauffeur? He's like, I got one right here. You want to hear a chauffeur? He's like, what are you talking about? In the middle parking lot. He's like, listen, do you want to hear the chauffeur or don't you? And he did. He blew the chauffeur for this guy
In the parking lot,
in the corner of Scottsdale and Thunderbird.
Of course, three accidents.
All right, so here is also, so that was not really a carrying din, that was a muksa din, and this is, next one is not really a carrying din, this is a maris ayin din, which is very good. I'm sorry Bob isn't here, because Bob would really like this halacha. Mutul, you found it?
No, I can't remember where it is, do you?
Not in Bottles.
Yeah, put a little
in the ours.
This is under you.
Alright, so Dalit is an interesting thing. Mutu l'taltal sulam shel shovach, mishovach l'shovach. You're allowed to carry a shovach is a dovecote. So apparently, dovecotes have their own special ladders.
What's a dovecote?
Place where they raise doves.
That's where they
have a bird house.
C-O-T.
C-O-T-E.
A big bird house.
Yeah. Right. You know,
Isaac Babel. They have those. His father's dovecote.
What?
Isaac Babel, who's a Jewish short story writer, has a story about his father's dovecote.
I don't know. If you go, there's this thing. When I was in Israel, like, oh my gosh, like 18 years ago, or not less than that, 15 years ago. So I, for the summer programs, they have these archaeological digs that they invite you to come to, right? We Dig Israel, right? Which is like the biggest racket of all time. You know, they bring in these camp groups and have them dig the whole place out. Yeah. They like drop pieces of pottery back in to like motivate them, you know. Whatever, but oh, that's from Macy's, you know. But anyways, so the thing they had us digging out was this dove coat, where we can see, you know, prehistoric dove stuff.
This Beit Guvrin caves, you can see one.
Right, so yeah, so they have this, so that's what we were digging out. So the, you know, the hole, it's like, you know, it's like a locker room. You know, it's like all these lockers, you know, these little holes on the side. Right, so that's what he's talking about. So they, apparently they, these dove coats had special dove coat ladders. I don't know why they're special dove coat ladders. I don't, maybe it's just
said, for the people.
For the people to get to the birds. Okay. I mean, it could just be, right, it said dove coat on, I don't know. Anyways, but insurance only covered them for dove coat use. You're allowed to carry it from dove coat to dove coat. Even in Rosh Hashanah, why would you be, what is what possible use do doves have on Yontif?
Eggs.
Eat them. Thank you. Yes. They lethal gozel the tzorach yontif. Afilu hay efshel lo miyakel. Even though you could have collected them the day before, you're allowed to collect them because they're already in a dovecote. They're already in its place. They're already considered captured. Right. So you're allowed to take them to eat. Right. The eggs would not be used. Right. Would not be very useful. Right. That's the first mission in Beitzah. Beitzah shenol the yontif. Right. Okay. So the doves were there, and you're allowed to use them. So mishuvah l'shuvach v'lishus rabin. Aval sulam shel aliyah aser, the ladder that you use to get to your roof is not permitted to use and not permitted to move. Okay, so why is it? What is the difference here? Why are we allowed to move it?
Basically going up to your roof to fix it.
Right. No, that's right for sure. Right, going up to your roof would not be allowed. So therefore, you're not even allowed to use it. So why not? So the Mishnah Berurah here is a key Mishnah Berurah. Let's take a look at Mishnah Berurah Chaf Ches. It's about 8 lines down. Chaf Ches. How about Sulam Shel Aliyah Aser? Deharo. Why is it Aser? Deharo a Yomar de Lahatiach Gagohu Metaltel Sulam said that he's going to fix his roof. V'chedarko Tamid Bachol, just as he does all the time. Let's just get that first line, right? So everybody understands the difference, right? One is, if someone's carrying a ladder that's not a dovecote ladder, everyone's going to say, oh, he's going to fix his roof, right? And that's Maris Ayin. Not only is it prohibited to carry in public, it's also prohibited to carry in private. Why? Anything that is officially usher because of maris ayin, you're not even allowed to do in the privacy of your own home. It's an interesting kasha in Rav Elchanan that if you have blood, your own blood is really mutter to drink, eat, whatever. I mean, right? So but you're not really supposed to suck your blood because that's it's marazayin, right? It looks like you have blood, whatever, you might have blood, it looks like you're eating blood. It's marazayin. But the Gemara says that you're allowed to suck the blood on the inside of your mouth, right? So ask Chanan Masterman, why isn't that chadrei chadarim? Right? Shouldn't that still continue to be prohibited?
There's not much chance of marazayin there.
Well, there isn't, but here he says also, right? Even if you're a chadrei chadarim, even if your doors are locked, you're not allowed to do these things. You're not allowed to drink. You're not allowed to drink fish blood without the fish fins around. You're not allowed to drink almond milk without almonds. Yeah. Right. So the fish blood is.
Because fish blood is. I guess doesn't really...
Fish blood is mutter.
Okay, could.
Right, you don't have to salt fish to get the blood out. Right, so fish blood is mutter. So, but the Shulchan Aruch, that's the reason it's talking about, that's the example of Maris, that's the main sugi of Maris Hayin, Shulchan Aruch is in the halachas having to do with fish. But to just have a cup of fish blood out there, we say, is usher because everyone's going to think you're drinking real blood, so rather you have to have the fish fins around it to demonstrate it. So these are all, let's learn this, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Afilu tatla rakshu seyachin nami usher, even care around, dechol makosh usher, vishum marasayin, afilu b'charu kadarim usher, v'chasu ha-poskim, that feel below tiltul l'shovach acher, rak l'hatosu mikanzel l'kan acher, but also shuvach, gamki, agufa gamkin aser. that even if you're not carrying it around to another Delphco, but you're just moving it around in this one, that's also Aser. Okay, period. But what about the ladders that are miyuchad, that are really only used inside the house? Stepping ladders, right? What?
A footstool.
A footstool, and you're constantly moving it from this corner to that corner. Imolichim osam yish deos ben aposim, to carry it outside. That's a machlokas aposim. There are those that say yishorim the shari that it's mutter the dafkasum shel aliyah shehu gadol v'chazi lalos alav legag l'takno. Right, that it's only those ladders that are big enough that people could get to the roof with. That's what the takana was made. Plus chayshin shema chayshin shayomru atiach gago hutzarach, that it's to fix the roof. Masha inkin sulam shebebayis, as opposed to the sulam in the house sheinam ruuyim lalos alayhem, which you won't be able to go up them legag dino kesulam shel shovach. So that is the din of a ladder of a shovach, meaning. The Shulchan Aruch says something is mutter and something is aser. What's mutter? Right? These shovach ladders are mutter. Right? What's aser? The big ladders to get to the roof. So the Mishnah wants to know, well, what about the in-between case? The in-between case of the indoor ladders. Right? The indoor ladders sometimes could be used for davar aser, and sometimes could be used, right? We don't know what any ladder could be used for either. But we're saying, is the gezeira that you're not allowed to use a ladder, but the exception is these dovecote ladders? Or is the rule that you're not allowed to use an outdoor ladder, but any other ladder, dovecote ladder, indoor ladder, stepping stool, right, all those things, then become mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah says, v'yish machmirim v'zeh, v'daitam, right, v'daitam, in the third wide line, d'lo hikilu el besulam shel shovach shenikarim heim b'tzurasim, that we're only makel. That we're making by those ladders of the shovach that it's clear what they are. The kuliyam liyadi, that everybody knows that he's going to the shovach mimati lehu, in order to, you know, to that he's using it to get to the shovach. About lo b'stam sulam da'afilu kashehem ketanim zimnim de'masmech lehu lezizim hayotzim min hakotlam v'ol legag. But sometimes people even use these indoor ladders in order to get to the roof. And then ulinyan halacha b'shusay yachid yishlismach lahakel letaltel sulam shebabayis b'shusay rabim nachum lechad. So he says to use these the indoor ladders, to use it in your own house, that should be okay, but to carry it around outside, so that he says one should be machmir on that. So that is the Marzain that I think we've talked about here before also is one I find I just incomprehensible. I can't get my finger hand around what the issue is, right? So I told the story, the phoenix, the water, the phoenix, the lawns, right?
Where the automatic sprinklers?
Automatic lawn thing. Where Shechter said to me, you know, why is anyone looking at anyone else's lawn? I don't know, and that what Mara Sion's about. But yeah, I never understood Mara Sion.
So is the reason for you can't do the Chadra Chadorim is that you could make a mistake and do it in public if you
don't know. It's not the impression.
In your own home? That's the only way I can understand.
Yeah, no, the impression that I get is that. There are certain things that the Rabbanim put a gzeira on because of Maris Ayin. The problem is that it changes. Right? So when they first started coming out with parve creamers, right? So they use the hashgachas used to require that they only be brought out in their original packaging, mm-hmm. Right? Because no one what's this milk that's coming out?
They put a special sign. All the products are powered on the, if you went to a banquet, they would say all the products. Non-dairy creamer there, and they would say.
Right. So nowadays they don't do that anymore. No. Nowadays, right, you get to a table, right, there's creamer in the middle of the table, and everybody knows it's part of cream, right? So it's a subjective thing, right? There's a whole dispute in the beginning of Hilchos Masa V'Cholov about nuts milk.
that Cholov Shkidim, it's called. Right? So there's a dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Sefer Kehilim, who says which, that I think the Ramah says glitter in the Shach Ketzolv says it's awesome. So the defense of the Ramah is, so just because like they happen to call it nut milk, doesn't mean it's any different than orange juice. Right? It just happens to be white. Right? So why is it that it looks like milk. There are other things that also look like milk that you're not including in, because it's not called milk. It's a very hard thing to quantify. I find it a very hard thing to quantify.
I remember Rabbi Eisman was saying something I never knew. If you're eating meat and potatoes, you shouldn't put margarine, a pat of margarine on the potato, because it looks like butter. And I always found that margarine had been around for a long time.
Right.
But nevertheless,
I haven't seen the butter since Nixon was in office.
Mm-hmm. I've seen butter. But
they still make butter.
Yeah, but people say butter is healthier than margarine now.
It's not part of it.
Right.
Well, they make margarine without trans fat.
But the point is, you know, couldn't do it. Didn't know that.
Right.
But that's a relative statement, isn't it? That's exactly the same what you were saying about non-dairy cream. It's a relative statement. 80 years ago,
this wasn't 80 years ago, and he said you shouldn't do it.
No, that's what I'm saying. So at some point,
I found it surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still not getting to the issue of the Chagra Chadorim. You know, why can't you?
No. If you assume that the iser is that there are certain things that are going to be objectively prohibited, right? So then it becomes easier to understand. I mean, just because the motivation of the gezeira was in order so that people don't think or whatever, they don't think badly of. By the way, it's unclear what are we concerned that other people are going to think it's mutter, or are we concerned that other people are going to think badly of you, right? What's the problem exactly? But once you assume that there are things that are objectively a problem, then we say, that's it, they're objectively a problem. We're not, you know, you're not allowed to do it even inside. I'm not sure you have to get on to, perhaps someone will see you. I don't think that's necessary. You just say, you know, low plug. That's it. But the problem is that Har Sinai almost by definition has to be subjective. So it requires further thought. All right, maybe we'll stop here.